الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series on the Kalam of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala Jalla Jalaluhu and our approach to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala's Kalam. And today I want to talk about the in that context, the rights, the huquq of the Quran al-Kareem on us. And inshallah, we'll do one of these each day. But just to list them so that we remember them, there are six huquq of the Quran on us. There are six rights of the Quran on us. And they are as follows. The first one is that we believe in the Quran. Second one, that we honor the Quran. The third one, that we read the Quran. The fourth one, that we understand the Quran. The fifth one, that we practice the Quran. And the sixth one is that we propagate the Quran. So these are the six huquq of Al-Quran fard on us. And the issue of any haqq is that we will be questioned about it. So the issue of huquq is not that we just know them, but that we have to fulfill these huquq. And the one who does not fulfill the haqq, he questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this. And the biggest dalil of this is the famous ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, the Rasul will say, that these people, my ummah, put the Quran behind their back. That this ummah has put the Quran behind their back. And we all know this ayat. So the issue is not to put ourselves in a situation where when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the people who put the Quran behind their back, that we are included in that. We ask Allah to save us from that and not to include us among those who will be counted as those who ignored the Quran or put the Quran behind their back. Putting the Quran behind their back doesn't refer to it as physically doing that, but it means to ignore the Quran al-Kareem. So in the rights of the Quran, the first of them is that we believe in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the belief in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of our aqeedah, and the one who does not believe that is not a Muslim. It's as simple as that. Now what is the meaning of believing in the Kalam of Allah? The meaning of believing in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to believe that the Quran, every word of it, every letter of it, every meaning of it, every thing that is narrated in it, whether it's a story of the people of the past or whether it is a story of at the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every hukum in the Quran, every order that was given in the Quran al-Kareem, every single aspect of the Quran al-Kareem, that we believe in it as it was revealed without making any changes in it. So this is the first part of the belief, that we believe every single thing in the Quran and we believe it as it was revealed without any changes in it. That we believe that this is true. The second part is that we believe that the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqq. That this Kalam did not come for a people at a particular time, even though it was revealed at a particular time, and it was revealed in an order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal it over a period of 23 years. And there were circumstances of the revelation. So for different ayat which were revealed, there were certain circumstances of the time because of which these ayat were revealed, and we call that the asbab of the nuzul. Despite that, our belief in the Quran is that the message of the Quran is not restricted to those people. It is a message for all of humanity till the end of time. So this is the second part of the belief. The first is that we believe the Kalam, everything as it came without any change. The second part is that we believe that this Kalam is haqq and that this Kalam is true and remains unchanged and came for all people till the end of time. So it is important for us to do this, because today there is a tendency, and not just today, this has been there for throughout history, where some people try to interpret the Quran and say, yeah, that came for that time. It's an old book, doesn't apply anymore. Or they will take some ayat of it and say, no, this ayat was for that time. This today it has no application. Times have changed. This is a false aqidah. If somebody denies an ayat of the Quran and says that this is meant only for that time and it is not relevant today, then that person has committed kufr. So, very important for us to understand that the belief in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of believing that this kalam is for all people and it is for all time, till the end of time. Every single hukum, every single ayat applies to every single human being, whether or not he accepts it, that's immaterial. If he doesn't accept it, then he has committed kufr. But the ayat is and remains valid till the end of time. The third part of the belief of the belief in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to believe the mutashabihat, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left unexplained. He has just mentioned them and he has not explained them any further. To believe in them as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained them and not to go beyond that. This is the haqq of the kalam. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Thumma istawa ala al-arsh, the suratul Surah Sajda, which we recited in the Salah today, Allah mentioned His creation of the heavens and the earth, and He says He created this in a certain period of time, and then He said, "Thumma istawa ala al-arsh." That Allah Subhanahu wa Taala made istiwa on the arsh. Now, what do we believe in this? We believe that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala made istiwa on the arsh. What is the meaning of istiwa? What does it mean? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah went on the arsh or is on the arsh, then is he, what is the state of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the arsh? Is he sitting, standing, whatever it might be? These are not questions that we ask, because this is, we believe, our aqidah is that we believe bila kaif. We don't say how. Allah said istawa ala arsh, we believe istawa ala arsh. What is the nature of the istawa? This is not for us to ask. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to explain, Allah would have explained. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not explain, we do not question. This is a very important thing, because we get into all kinds of major problems with the aqidah, because we go into areas which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not open for us. If that matter was to be opened, Allah would have opened it. And similarly, there are other things in the Quran where it is not for us to ask these questions. The one of the most beautiful stories from the seerah, which illustrates this important point of how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Quran and how the Sahaba learnt it, is when the Surah Abasa was revealed. There is an ayat in that surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّهُ. Now, this ayat was revealed, and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, a man came to him. No, before that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu read this ayat. He said, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّهُ. And he said, Fakiha, we know, which is fruits. Habba, we know, which is a seed that has been planted, a new shoot that germinates. But what is Abba? And then he corrected himself. And he said, woe to you, O Umar, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to explain what is Abba, Allah would have explained. So don't go into a place or don't go into an area which you have no right to go into. Allah said, Fakihatan wa Abba, this is our aqidah. We don't ask what is the meaning of Abba. How is it different from Habba, and so on and so forth. A man came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu with the same ayah. And he asked him, he said, what is the tafsir of this ayah? What does this mean? What is the meaning of Habba? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, which sky will shade me and which earth will hide me if I say about the book of Allah that which I do not know? So to speak about the Quran without knowledge, to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, is considered to be the mother of all sins. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi and others, they called it the Ummul Khabais. They said this is the mother of all evil. And what is that? Is to speak about the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself without knowledge. What knowledge do we have? We have the knowledge of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Khalas. Nothing more. So to go into that and to explain this and this means that and that means this is all not from the aqidah of the Muslims, and this is a very, very major problem. And that's the reason why in terms of people who do tafsir, today we have a situation where everybody thinks that they are competent to do tafsir. So they will take an ayah and they will say, in my opinion, this is what it means. This word, this phrase, in my opinion, is a very dangerous phrase, and this phrase has been specifically mentioned by the Aimmah and by the Ulama of this deen to say that this is a sign of a person who is completely jahil, the sign of ignorance, to say, in my opinion, who are you? What is your opinion? Are you the Nabi of Allah? Are you getting wahi? What is the meaning of opinion? So to say, to take an ayat of the Quran and to say, in my opinion, this means, this is ridiculous, this is absolute nonsense. We should never say this. And if somebody is saying this, then leave their company. Don't sit with them, because they will lead you astray. Because we are not interested in somebody's opinion. We are interested in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. The meaning of this is so and so, that is fine, because this is the meaning of the ayat. But to say, in my opinion, this means no, there is no opinion involved in this matter. Right? So, the opinion we take with respect to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the opinion of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in the Quran, and that is the explanation that we stay with. If somebody's got an opinion different from the opinion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then automatically we reject that opinion, because no one can have an opinion different from the Sahibul Wahi. The one who got the Wahi, he has the truth. And if somebody has an opinion which is different from the opinion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then obviously we reject this opinion. So in terms of the belief in the Quran, all of these are part of the, it is the haqq of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we believe in it in this way, and that we don't distort this belief, we don't introduce our own thoughts and ideas and imagination and Allah knows what into it, and we do not interpret it or try to interpret it in ways which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not interpret. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be among those who will be counted as those who tried their best to fulfill the haqq and the huquq of the Quran. I'm not saying those who fulfilled, because wallah alam, maybe it's not possible for us, but definitely those who tried their best to fulfill the huquq of the Quran al-Kareem. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use that as a means of our forgiveness and to cover us with His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.